Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, March 2nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and anything else that might just tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for something?
find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have an awesome show for you today, and we're so glad that you decided to tune in today live. If you are tuning in live, come on and join us in the chat room. We always have a great time in there. You can meet lots of great friends and talk about other subjects as well as the page kind of scrolls down little by little. So always fun in the chat room. But if you can only listen via podcast, we thank you for listening via podcast as well. Whether it be in your car or at work or while you're jogging or running grocery store errands, whatever it may be, we thank you for listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time, ladies and gentlemen, the highlight of my day, to bring on my wonderful co-host. Now, let me forewarn you, it is Wednesday, and which is normally her half a cup of coffee and bagel day, so I'm just forewarning you, you may not know what to expect, but it is now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, author, all-around, talented young lady, the one, the only, Pat Foreman.
Whisper, you have kissed the Blarney Stone again. I have a little bit of caffeine, and you kissed the Blarney Stone.
Wait, did you say that you did have your cup of coffee today?
No, I've switched it to Fridays because that's when the fresh bagels come. No. I know. It's amazing how small little things can make the whole week just sort of sparkle, isn't it? A bagel and a half a cup of coffee. Who would have thought?
So no coffee. But I did have quite a treat. Switched to Fridays. Now, that's going to make Fridays even more interesting than they are already.
Yes. If you, more fun, frolicking, frisky, even, and frivolous Fridays.
But you know, Pat, even more funny is that you actually know the day they get in their fresh bagels.
They only do it one day a week. Such as living in a small town.
I love it.
Yeah. So we just go back to the refrigerator back there with the little cafe and pull out the tub of cream cheese and sit down and have a gay old time with the coffee and bagels and the cream cheese. It's boy, I couldn't do that every day. I would put on weight like crazy, I think, if I had bagels and cream cheese every day. But it's so good as a treat. I do look forward to it. I've learned to look forward to things that I used to just take for granted. So yeah.
Well, there you have it,
including
folks. You can now send your favorite bagel directly to Pat Foreman, care of Good Earth Publications.
Pumpernickel. I really like the pumpernickel and the cinnamon raisin.
Okay.
Are my favorites. Yeah.
If I could have seeds,
funny.
Of course, many people know due to diverticulosis, I can't have seeds or nuts. But there's a thing called an everything bagel. And I think what
yep.
they do is on the assembly line, when they're done making all the other bagels and sprinkling everything on them that they can think of, they kind of scoop all that stuff up and then throw it on these bagels and call it the everything bagel.
Yeah, they have those there, too. They looked a little challenging. I took a bite into one of them that had way too much salt. I think they put too much of the everything and salt in this one bagel, and then the others probably didn't have any. But, yeah, so anyway. Well, guess what happened to me today? I guess you're not going to guess this one. But
okay, let me. Here we go again. This has become kind of a daily fanfare here. So,
out of
okay,
the blue, here it comes, yeah.
Let me see.
It has to do with chickens.
Has to do with chickens. It happened to
yep.
you today.
Yep.
Okay, hang on just a second. Let me think. You got a quadruple yolk egg.
A four-yoker.
Yeah, four-yoker?
No.
Did you? No? No, that's not
no,
it?
No. Okay. That's not it. Ooh, that'd be good. That'd make a great deviled egg, wouldn't it?
Hey.
Oh, dear.
Okay,
no,
I'll give
up. What'd you say?
I give up. Go ahead.
Well, a friend called and said they're doing the pastured poultry operation, and,
right.
and they're doing it. I mean, they're really taking it seriously. And they called and they said, Pat, we've got this one chicken that is just such a person of a chicken. She comes and she'll jump up on your shoulder, and she's small, and the others are beating up on her, and we just can't stand to put her out to pasture because we're sure that she's going to get picked off or she just won't make it. Would you take this sweet little chicken? So, of course, I say, sure. I mean, this sounds like a candidate for a therapy chicken to me. So then she says, well, then we've got these two that have a little bit of a leg problem. Would you take them? I said, of course, I'll take about anything. We've got a little hospital here. We can cure just about anything. So she showed up this morning about she and her husband with this adorable little chicken. I mean, it's true. It's this little. I decided to name her Gracie after the owner's name. So little Grace is just one of those. She just as soon be on your lap or hanging around, more like a cat than a dog than she's a chicken. And then the other two, I think they just got a little bruised on their feet. I didn't see any bumblefoot or anything. They're young. They're just young pullets. So all of a sudden, I've got three more heads there in my little flock. But this little Gracie, she's the kind of thing that you could take to dinner parties. You know, it gives new meaning to chicken in a basket. You can take her to a dinner party. So I'm going to be working with her, just seeing if I don't have another, which would make my fourth chicken that can go out in public and just ride on your arm and without fear of sort of flying away. So that's what happened to me this morning. I didn't quite see that coming, but of course I'm thrilled. And then last night had a wonderful meeting at the co-op. We did the chickens and you. It was 2 hours. These people just kept hanging around. It was from 6 to 8. It didn't even take a break, and it just went by so fast. But they're all. Some of them had never touched a chicken before. I took Oprah Henfrey, and she was just going from one arm to another and just being her cool self, looking at people in the eye and clucking. So it was a wonderful introduction to some people that had never touched a chicken or even realized you could have a chicken out of a cage. Some people don't think that you just have to look at them through the bars, you know, like prison. So that was really a wonderful evening. And I so enjoyed that. So, yeah, got home about midnight, and I woke up about
midnight.
Usual time.
Pat got home at midnight. Oh my word!
I know, it was an all nighter. It's my version of an all nighter. Anything one after midnight is an all nighter for me.
But you're right. When we have the poultry seminars and webinars, they just, oh my gosh, they could go on forever and ever and ever. And the questions that lead to other questions, and then they lead to other questions. And
oh,
everybody
yeah.
was so interested in learning and sharing their knowledge. And they can last a really long time if you're not careful.
Yeah.
What
touched me so much was the pure enthusiasm and excitement. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell when a lot of the people walked out, there were probably, I guess, 30 or 40, probably 35 people there, but you could tell the next day they were going to be looking up their chickens and getting them on board really fast. I mean, they were like little kids at Christmas, you know, what kind should we get and where can I get them and how can I get them tomorrow? So that was, and the question about the coops, you know, I can just see the cultural learning curve going straight up because people are learning so fast. And it's just spreading across the country so fast, and that's just heartwarming for me. I get chills even just talking about it here. So that's wonderful. We're doing good, Whisper.
Yeah, good, good. We're trying to, again, spread the chicken love around the world, and that's what we're trying to do. And we're going to be doing some more of that actually this coming weekend. I know myself, I will be at the Mountain Valley Country Store. They're having a big event this Saturday, March the 5th. That's in Hayesville, North Carolina. It's just over the Georgia border, so it's far, far western Carolina over there. Just, again, just above the Georgia border, Hayesville, North Carolina, the Mountain Valley Country Store. So you'll be able to tune in this Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live on location if all goes well with our technology. If the technology gods are working on our side this Saturday, then we'll be broadcasting live on location from 10 a.m. Eastern to 11 a.m. Eastern, then from about 11:30 to 1:30, Jen and I will be teaching a poultry workshop, a little bit about everything regarding keeping some backyard poultry, and then questions and answers, and then we'll be heading back home. So we've got that coming up on Saturday. So hopefully, if you can't make it, come by and say hello. Then you can tune in this Saturday. We'll have a really good time with that. And it looks like in the next, oh, I don't know, next 4 or 5 days, I'll be booking travel for Cooptastic, which is coming up in Delaware. Yeah, I think
excellent.
We're going to do that, and that'll be on Saturday, the 26th of March. And so we'll probably, we're going to take Amtrak, as always. We love it, and we'll be leaving out of Atlanta Thursday evening. And then we'll be getting up there Friday around noon, and so we'll have Friday to look around, maybe do a little sightseeing, meet with Dr. McCray, meet some of her students maybe. Maybe if she has class that day and she has an afternoon class or a lab, I can attend that. And that'd be so cool. And then we'll have Cooptastic on Saturday. So we're looking forward to that event, again, spreading the poultry love around the country as we travel around. So how cool is that? Looking forward to it. If you weren't tuning in yesterday, you may have missed our top five finalists for the Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest that now has ended. It has now ended, but we do have our top five finalists. I did post them on our Chicken Whisperer Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, but I'll read them to you here real quick. The Golden Valley Charter School in Orange Vale, California. The Claremont High School in Claremont, California. All Saints Episcopal School in Tyler, Texas, the Padilla School in Atlanta, Georgia, and the College School in Webster Groves, Missouri. So those are our top five finalists. One of those schools is going to win an awesome, a brand new awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, Genesis Incubator from GQF Manufacturing, right down here in Savannah, Georgia, and a copy of City Chicks. A book from obviously authored by my co-host Pat Foreman. You're yourself. So
yeah.
So one of those schools are going to win that big package, and that's going to be given away on Friday, March the 18th. So we're really looking forward to that, and we're hoping on April 1st we'll be starting another chicken coop contest for all of our fans and listeners that may need a new coop around the house. So we're hoping and working with some of our sponsors to get that done for an April 1st contest. It'll be a 30-day contest, and we're coming up with kind of the rules and the regulations and the creativeness about how we can do that. And again, we'd like to involve not just the radio listeners, but our Facebook fans coming up on 10,000 and our Twitter fans as well. So everybody feels like they have a hand in the contest. So that always kind of has to be a little creative. So we're looking forward to that. And also, speaking of spreading the chicken love, 1 week from today, and so I'm going to see if Love for Poultry on the fly here can't post this in the chat room, but 1 week from today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 Central, which I believe that would be about 3:30 Pacific time if you're out on the West Coast. But 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, 1 week from today, Wednesday, March 9th, we're going to be having a free, many of you have heard about this, a free ManaPro webinar called Bringing Home Baby Chicks. Bringing Home Baby Chicks. And it's going to be just an hour and a half. And your presenters will be yours truly, the Chicken Whisperer, and Dr. Rob, we call him. He is a Vice President of Nutrition at ManaPro. Love for Poultry just put the link in the chat room. We'll post it again right after the show. Maybe in fact, Love for Poultry can post it on our Facebook page during the show and remind people in the subject line kind of what it's about, and they need to register. Because let me tell you, there's only 1,000 seats available. That sounds like a lot, but not when we've got, you know, close to 10,000 Facebook fans and several thousand radio listeners. It'll probably fill up fairly quickly. 1 week. People like to procrastinate, including myself. So register for that. It is free. Now, if you attend live, if you register and forget, well, sucks for you. But if
the path not taken.
I'm telling you. But you shouldn't forget, because you will get reminder emails. But if you're live in the chat room, in the webinar room during the webinar, you will have chances to win many prizes throughout the webinar. But then at the end of the webinar, one lucky listener. Let's say it's full. Let's say it's full, and there's 1,000 people. That's a 1 in 1,000 chance to win this awesome chicken coop, 5x6 chicken coop from Horizon Structures. The thing's valued at like, I don't know, $1,800, something like that. It's amazing, and it'll be shipped right to your front door, anywhere in the lower 48 states. Shipped right to your front door, fully assembled, and voila, it's beautiful. The one, and that'll be done live during the webinar. So that alone is an incentive to come spend an hour and a half with the Chicken Whisperer and Dr. Rob. I don't know what is, but and there'll be other prizes throughout the thing. But you got to register. It's completely free. And I found out today, or yesterday rather, you can call in on your phone and listen, or you can listen through your computer. I was given some misinformation that the only way you could participate is actually on your computer, as you on the computer watch the PowerPoint presentation, but you have to hold the phone up to your ear. You can listen both through the computer if you don't want to call in, or you can call in and listen while we go through the PowerPoint on the computer. But that's going to be a week from today on the 9th of March, so we hope you will register for that. Again, completely free, and you might win an awesome chicken coop, top of the line, just beautiful, and if you participate. So we've got that coming up as well. And let me think if there's anything else that I wanted to share with folks real quick before we bring on a real special guest today. Of course, is brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. And at the end of the show today, about 20 after, in about an hour, we're going to have a chicken trivia contest. One lucky listener is going to be winning a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. So we've got that going on today. And let's see, it was kind of slow in Chicken the News, but before we get to the official chickens in the news, I want to go to the phone lines here and bring on our friends from Bidbird.com to tell us about a couple of featured auctions there at their site.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
All righty, you can't help but to tap your toe and shake your hips a little bit when that commercial is playing. Let me tell you, Jen did a good job picking out some music for that. So, Pat, let's welcome Jesse with Bidbird, so he can feature a couple of auctions that are on his site this week. Hey, Jesse.
Good afternoon, Pat and Andy. Andy,
hey,
listen,
Jesse.
You know, I really appreciate you playing my commercial twice in a day, and it's not going to get you out of trouble. I'm sorry.
Nice try, Whisper.
Well, let's see.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry.
Oh, that's funny. Pat, you happen to know the story. You happen to know the story, Pat. You know, Andy is an absolute gentleman, but he does have a little bit of a dark side. You know, I got to meet him up there at the Noonan Show, and You know, remember we talked about having an auction for Lunch with Andy. Well, I had one. I guess nobody saw it and nobody bid, so I defaulted. And not only did I have Lunch with Andy, but I had to buy. So, anyways.
Yeah,
now,
we were going to have.
If that's not enough.
Go back a little bit now, Jesse. We were going to have a contest. It was your idea. One Wednesday we brought you on, and that was a mistake. But we did bring you on anyway. And you talked about having on your website, and no, you never posted it, but you could bid to have lunch at the Chicken Whisperer at the Noonan Show. Well, yes, you are right. Lo and behold, I did have lunch with Jesse from Bid Bird, and he ended up picking up the tab.
You know, it was my pleasure, Andy. It was my pleasure. But the funny thing is, Pat, do you remember the old McDonald's commercials where you keep your eyes on your fries?
Yes, I do remember those.
Okay, well, you know,
he was hoarding your food.
Not mine, but
Hey, I'm sorry. We can't have a problem here with the connection.
Oh, the truth, she comes out here.
Yeah. So if you do get to have lunch with Andy, order an extra order of fries just for him.
They didn't have any
tater tots. Just give
they didn't
them
have
off.
Any
Don't
tots. That's exactly what I was about to say, Pat. You're exactly right. So, oh my goodness. No, I had finished and we were talking and I looked over and Jen was talking away with our good friend Laura Duncan and she her head was turned and well there they were, a plate full of French fries. So you know I had to take a couple just to help her move along a little bit. That's all.
Oh, Whisper, tell me that you don't like calamari. I mean, I really need to know this before I have dinner with you somewhere.
No, I do not like that. I have tried that before, but it's kind of like eating pencil erasers, a little gummy and chewy.
Yeah, the chewy part's the best thing. So, okay, there you go, Jess. I'm safe on this.
Okay.
You can leave my calamari alone.
So could you imagine this going on a whole lunch period of about 45 minutes? We had a good time out there, Andy. I appreciated having lunch with you, and we had fun at that show. So.
We did have fun. It was a fun show. No, met a lot of great folks. So very, very fun.
Now, I've got a couple auctions I'd like to feature with your permission there, Andy. One comes from our friend out in Washington, Gene Ribbick of Pips and Peeps, who's a regular listener of this show as well. She has actually three pairs, Andy, of Sebastopol. I know you had trouble saying that before in the past. Sebastopol geese. And these birds... come from a flock that is from Holder Reed and Overton stock. Some of the birds in their flock actually started to lay last week, and the majority of them are expected to be laying within the next couple of weeks. And it's a perfect opportunity to get some good birds to start a new flock of Sebastopols or improve your existing stock.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get me a. I'm gonna have to get me a breeding pair of those basketballs. That sounds great.
the basketballs.
Yeah, the basketballs. Yeah, I love the color of that breed. Yeah, so maybe I can get a breeding pair of basketballs one of these days.
Oh my goodness! Could you imagine lunch with him, Pat? It was fun. Anyway, our friends over at Hodges Farms out there in Georgia, of all places, they have up for auction 10 Beltsville turkey hatching eggs. She says the fertility has been checked, and this is not a pre-sale. They're laying now. And they will the eggs will ship as soon as payment is received. So, I mean, you know, if you want to get some turkeys now and, you know, raise them up and you'd be having homemade turkey for Thanksgiving this year.
What kind of turkeys were those?
Beltsville turkeys.
Okay, good.
Big old white Beltsvilles. So, Andy, that's all I have. Oh, Pat, by the way, at the State Fair, I'll have you know there was a huge table out with a bunch of books. And wouldn't you know there was City Chicks.
Double
copies of that, yeah.
Thanks for telling me that. That makes my day.
Yeah. We bought all 7 copies, and I'll be sending you the bill.
That's okay. I'm looking forward to having dinner with you at some really upscale restaurant.
no problem. Be my pleasure. Anyway, nice talking to you guys, and Lord willing, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Great. Thanks,
that sounds
Jesse.
Good, Jesse. Thanks so much. Be careful, Jesse. When you go visit Pat, she'll take you out to dinner to that cafe, and you'll have coffee and bagels and cream cheese.
And calamari.
Calamari, yeah, exactly. I don't know. He might like it. He might like it. You never know.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't reach across the table to other people's plates.
Mm-hmm. I know. Hey, where's Jen?
We're sharing.
Where is she to back me up on this? Okay. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Jesse. You have, ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the last live episode with Jesse with BigBird.com on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's been a really good run of weeks, and we appreciate him coming on. But it's time to move on. Tune in every Wednesday for the update on BigBird.com and what kind of auctions they have. The feature at their website, get sold on BidBird. All right, it's time for some chickens in the news. And this one's all on you, Pat, because it's been pretty slow on the news wire regarding any type of chickens in the news. I kind of covered some events that are going on, some other chickens in the news regarding the webinar coming up, and I may do a chicken tip of the day, but Chickens in the News is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Visit them online at meyerhatchery.com up in Polk, Ohio. Pat, Chickens in the News is all you today. Surprise.
Yeah, well, I'm in your boat there, Whisper. I haven't had hardly anything either. there was some chicken recall because of leaked, an industrial problem, but it wasn't even that much compared to the whole bulk of things. So it's been a pretty quiet Chickens in the News thing. What, on a personal level, I can say that the new third edition, the Homestead edition of Chicken Tractor, looks really good. I'm so pleased with it.
Awesome. You said you had an 18 wheeler pull into your driveway yesterday, and you were out there. We were having a good time talking to the Heritage Chef Steve Pope, and there you were lugging in boxes of books. How about that?
Well, not really lugging so much as just directing, but we weren't expecting them to come then. I mean, that was the worst time to come, and so I usually arranged to have a bunch of help to unload, but because he didn't tell me when he was coming, it was just, So anyway, thank God for dollies and forklifts is all I can say. It really helped. Yeah. But anyway, we got them all unloaded, and they're all safe, and what's different about this edition of Chicken Tractor from the second edition, which was the straw bale edition, is it goes into very detailed proper backyard processing and homestead processing. I mean, from the very beginning to the very end, including vacuum bagging, just using a shop vac if that's all you have, or a bucket of water. So there, it's got over, if you don't mind if I plug it here just a little bit.
No, go right ahead.
It's got over 130 pictures and drawings just to make all the concepts really clear. That's one of the things that my publisher really likes about the writings, is there's so many visuals that are in there that help explain the text. So it goes into detail on how to make just a basic chicken tractor and of course, the soils, how to enrich your soil using chicken tractors and using chickens and thinking outside the coop. We've introduced that with this book as well. You know, put a pop hole in that little chicken coop and let those little babies out. Keep them safe, of course, with a perimeter fence or if it's safe for them to roam, but they can do so much good outside. What was another interesting thing is I was going back through the archives of this book, I started finding these pictures from 20 years ago about when we were just first starting with chickens, and so I put a few of those old pictures in here that bring back so many memories. But anyway, it's going out today. The first cases are being shipped out to about 10 different vendors, so it ought to be into Kindle in about a month. We're also having it going with the e-book. So
now, what do they do? They actually take your book and they tattoo it on the back of a girl named Kindle?
Oh dear!
I went to high school with a girl named Kendall once. I have a cousin named Kendall. Yeah. All of a sudden, she's become very popular.
Yeah, no kidding. Everyone's got Kendall in their little hands there. So, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, of course, Kendall is the ebook version for Amazon.
Right.
Amazon sales, and it's amazing. And the books, the thing about Kindle is you can use color photographs. It can come through as color, and the same thing with the iPad. You can use the color photographs. But of course, the downside is, what do you do? Everyone hacks it. Not everyone, but the once it's out in digital form, of course, then the intellectual property rights tends to just go down the drain in so many cases.
Mm-hmm.
Especially internationally. We've had our books pirated in Singapore and distributed in Asia without getting any credit or profits from it at all. So,
really?
So there is a downside to it, but on the other hand, it's good information. If it can go and help our world a little bit, you know, maybe just make it a little bit greener, well, then that's good.
That's good. I just have
I'd rather have the money, though.
Yeah. yeah. money for your hard work. So this comes to us from theunion.com, serving Western Nevada County, California. With spring just around the corner, Nevada City residents may be able to celebrate the season by raising chickens at their homes. A public hearing to consider a draft ordinance permitting the raising of backyard chickens in single-family residential zones is scheduled for Thursday's Nevada City Planning Commission meeting. In talking with different people, there's been some interest in doing this over the past year. Nevada City Planner City Sigfield says, seeing that other jurisdictions were doing it, Sacramento, Tucky, Grass Valley, we started looking at this and drawing off their ordinances. Grass Valley has recently passed an ordinance allowing up to four hens in the backyards of properties at least 5,000 square feet in size. Nevada City draft ordinance specifies standards for coop location, protection from predators, and feed storage. She said it will be similar to a dog registration process with a certain number of chickens allowed based on lot size. There's not a whole lot of opposition. We're hopeful that the standards will address any concerns, and we hope to get this passed. So if you want to attend, if you live in the area, the annual commission activity, the planning commission will meet 6:30 p.m. Thursday at City Hall at 317 Broad Street. And the agenda is available at www.nevadacity.gov. NevadaCityCA.gov. NevadaCityCA.gov. So good luck to them. They've already passed it, it seems like, or they're looking at passing keeping chickens in Nevada City. Good luck to them. And there was something mentioned in there that I want to share with you, if you want to call it a tip of the day or a rude awakening of the day or whatever it might be. I was on Facebook earlier this morning and saw one of our friends in the chat room dealing with some predator issues, and someone had said that, if you live on a quarter-acre lot in a subdivision, you don't have to really worry too much about predators, and that is a huge, huge misunderstanding and a really bad assumption. If you teach people that, tell people that, or if you think that or expect that, then you're probably going to have some dead chickens. In our area, for example, we've encountered possums and raccoons, weasels, dogs, cats, hawks, owls, snakes. We've seen a coyote. And so just because you may live in an urban area, or a rural area, or on a small lot, or on a 40,000-acre lot, or if you live, wherever, in a subdivision, or maybe you live in an urban area, but you have 10 acres around you, please do not assume, because you live on a quarter acre, that there may not already be predators there. And it's not that your chickens are going to attract predators. The predators, if they're there, are already there for a reason. It's because there's already a food source there. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful of what information you get, because apparently some folks just have no clue that even on a quarter acre, you can have predators, and you need to protect your flock from predators. As I've said many times, everybody loves chicken. And these predators will have nothing else to do with their time but figure out how to get to your chickens. And so you want to make sure you do have a good predator-proof location for them as best you can. Accidents are going to happen, and because they can be pretty darn smart. But that's one of the biggest responsibilities we have as chicken owners, to help protect our flock from predators. So wanted to share that with you as well. Well, Pat, we're going to go to break so we can get our wonderful guest on, and because we've got lots of information. People are really interested in this. And when we come back after break, Pat and I are going to welcome Steve Paradis. He is the owner of Fresh Start Grower Supply. He's going to be discussing mini milling and feed formulations. So I know lots of people, once again, I'm reminding you, during the commercial break, pull out that Chicken Whisperer radio show notebook that you have sitting next to your computer. Open it up, put the date at the top, and start taking notes. Because, again, we're trying to bring you the best program available in the country regarding backyard poultry and sustainable lifestyles. So, folks, get your pen and paper ready. We'll be back right after this short break.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We're going to go ahead and bring on our special guest for today, Pat Nye, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing the name right. Steve Paradis is a local entrepreneur focused on sustainable agriculture. He owns Fresh Start Grower Supply, a Louisville, Kentucky-based independent farm and garden supply that offers organic, sustainable agriculture solutions for commercial enterprises and backyard gardeners. He also owns a small farm that produces fruit and vegetables for their CSA members. He lives on a small farm with his family in Oldham County, Kentucky. And so welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, thanks a lot, and you got everything right. You got the last name right. You got Oldham County right. It's just like you're a native.
Very
it's
good.
It's that Southern influence.
There you go. Thank you very
much. Right.
That's super. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I know Pat knows an awful lot about you, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge about our topic today, which mini milling and feed formulation. So everybody's got their notepads out, and we're ready to learn from your knowledge.
Well, I'm glad to participate and hope I can help. And Pat's been a real boost for our business. She came in and did a class for us, for our customers, late last fall, I believe, and we had a great time and became fast friends. So I'm glad to be able to be part of the show.
So thanks so much, Steve. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we certainly did have fun, didn't we? even that fine microbrew after the classes were just icing on the cake there, I think.
it was the complete package, Pat.
Yeah, the complete package. Yeah, complete package. Great. Well, Steve, the reason I thought it'd be interesting to our listeners to have you on, you can talk about so many facets of sustainable agriculture, but you're actually, excuse me, have a little mill in your garden supply store that is creating custom rations for animals. I mean, you have a hopper, you've got the mixer, and you've got the feed additives. So how did you decide to go do that? Because that's a little bit of an investment there with that big hopper.
It is a little bit of an investment, but it's been well-rewarded one, Pat. What we've tried to do is think like a farmer, which having farm operations on our property, we can kind of understand the day-to-day routines and challenges. And what we found is that when we were starting to raise our own chickens, the availability of local custom feed capability was just not any. We really wanted a good quality feed. We wanted a organic certified feed if we could find it, and it was. We found some good feed online. I think at Countryside, which you're familiar with, but that was way in Virginia, and the freight costs were extraordinary. And so we decided that we couldn't be the only backyard chicken keepers or small commercial flock keepers that needed a high quality feed beyond just. What you would find at the quote-unquote pet store. So that's how we kind of came upon the idea, and I think it's proved to be profitable, and our customers have rewarded us with their loyalty.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, do you have quite a few customers requiring they're requesting a specially formulated ration? I know when we had our farm, we had our own rations that we really wanted to stick by, and I was always tinkering with the protein level in it and the fish meal and the peas. But do you have many that go out and say, here's my recipe, this is what I want?
We have some. To be honest with you, most of our backyard people rely on us for our expertise to tell them what they need. And to be specific on this, the backyarders are, 99% layer chickens, not any broilers. We have commercial farmers that are raising broilers, and that's a different scenario. But when it comes to the backyard customers, they're asking us, what should I do in terms of the layer ration ingredients? And we make those recommendations. And so that's more typically how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now
on the commercial side, it's different. When we're working with a farmer, they'll come in and tell us, I've got goats that are about to birth. We want, a recipe that's going to support the mineral needs, the nutritional needs of the soon-to-be moms. And so that's a different scenario, and we can do a small batch of as little as 400 pounds, a custom mix for them.
Oh, really? That is a small batch. Wow.
Eight bags.
Yeah, that's only eight bags. That's Wow.
That's the beauty of a micro mill.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, yeah, that is a beauty of a micro mill, is to be able to get that. And then what's the cost like, Steve? I mean, does it having a custom made like that in a small batch of only 400 pounds, is it cost competitive?
I think so. I mean, we just ran some a small batch last week for a goat producer, and it worked out to about $23.50 per bag. So I think that's very competitive for a certified organic ingredient mix. Now, obviously, we'll do a small setup charge of about $10 or so on top of that, but it's still very reasonable. And what's great about it, it's not only custom, but you know, you're talking about fresh grain here. You're not using something that may have been on the been in storage or been on the shelves for 6 months or a year.
Or more. I mean, notice how it's really hard to find the date, the dating material on the bagged feed. It's coded, and
there's a reason for that, I think. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah. Well, are you finding that there's more? You said you just did one for goats. So chicken feed isn't your primary mix that you do in your mini mill?
No, chicken feed is 90% of ours, but we're trying to, you know, reach out to more and more folks that want custom mixes because we can do, you know, goats and sheep and cattle and, you know, well, any bird or animal that's going to take that mix of grains. We're set up to work with, you know, corn, oats, roasted soybean, alfalfa meal. Those are our primary ingredients, and so chicken feed is really our primary market at this point, but we're able to do a combination of different mixes for different farmers' needs, and then we obviously make our feed for stock for our store, and that's a 16 or 17% layer, and a we'll do a 21% starter, and we can grind that to either be chunkier or more of a meal, depending on what the customer's requirements are. So,
do you add any grain?
Chickens are the reason we started the mill, and it's the primary market right now for us.
When you're mixing the grains for, say, a starter, do y'all add any grit into that or into the mix at all, or is that something they would supplement as the chicken owner?
Well, one of the things we put into our mix is aragonite. Aragonite is it's a ground seashell, and it's a smaller diameter than the larger oyster shell chunks you'd see in a typical grit. So we do have some calcium source there that's going to be able to be used as a grit. It's smaller in size, as I say, and that, you know, fits with the size of the chick. So it works out well. And then if owners want to supplement that with more grit, we can certainly provide that to them. But we feel enough in there based on our results and testing in the aragonite that provides the ability to digest the feed properly.
That's a good product.
We have a question in the chat room already from Bard Rock. A question, heritage breeds such as Plymouth Rocks, I add a little grower to the layer feed to boost the protein. Is there a recommended percentage for the heritage breed birds? And I'll elaborate on that as well. A couple of years ago, it seemed to be, I know things come in waves and trends, but a couple of years ago I saw a big trend with many people coming up to me or commenting when they were starting their chicks, as they were starting their chicks out on a game bird starter and a game bird grower, huge percent of protein, but even for layers, because they were like, oh, it'll get them bigger faster and they'll get all this fat and all this kind of stuff. And I had to be careful, at least, again, my opinion, that they want to be careful about getting their layers too big too fast, because a big fat layer is not what you want, because then they're more prone to egg bound and other health issues. So I'll add that as well. Did you see, or do you hear people coming in wanting lots of protein for these baby chicks to grow them up really fast, even though they're layers? And then Bard Rock's question as well, he adds a little grower to the laying feed to boost protein. What do y'all recommend for that?
Well, I don't think that's a problem from our standpoint to a certain degree. And I do agree with you that too much growth on any bird, any young bird, can cause challenges either with their size or their muscles or their bone structure that can't support the meat they put on there. So I really try to follow carefully what I would consider best practices in developing feed recipes or using feed recipes. We're a Fortrell distributor, and they're a very fine line of products for both feed premixes as well as fertilizers. and soil amendments. And Fertrell has been around since 1946. They have animal nutritionists on staff, and I really work carefully with them because they are much more experienced in years with a broader knowledge base. I use 99% of the time their recommended rations, no matter whether it's grower, broiler, starter, or just for a layer ration. And the reason I do that is I do think they've gotten the reputation as a high integrity firm. So when you're looking at a heritage breed, I cannot state that the specific breeds need appreciably more protein. You really want to. I've not mixed any below 16, and I've not mixed any or provided any above 21%. I'll generally do a 16 or 17 for a layer. Mm-hmm. I'll do a 19 for broilers, and we'll do 21% for starters for chicks, and then move them off of that as they get pullet size.
Okay.
Great.
Excellent.
Super.
And then what do you use as your protein sources, Steve?
Well, the first thing that we like to use is roasted soybean, and that's been around for a long time. The roasted soybean is best-in-class ingredient. It's more digestible, more flavorful, and so that's going to be the basis primarily of our protein up to about 16 or 17%, and you get that by having the proper rations of soy to corn to oats and the other ingredients. Now, beyond that, if you're going up to a higher protein level, we'll use a fish meal, certified organic, made with Naturox. That's N-A-T-U-R-O-X. That is a great source of protein. So the fish meal is added to it to bring that protein source up.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's
what about you
meal.
Guys? I mean, have you used other protein sources besides fish meal or roasted soybean? There's field peas. We've had some people request a non-soy.
Peas, yeah. Right.
We've had other people request that, and we've done some field peas. At this 90% of our mixes are not with field peas, unless somebody has a specific diet restriction where they're allergic to soy and they don't want it in their chickens because they're going to eat the eggs. It's harder to get to that protein level with the field peas.
Yes, yeah, it is. And, of course, the soybeans, that's a controversy. We could have a whole show on the controversy about soybeans.
Yeah.
Well, I think there is a lot of controversy there, and the two big issues being is it genetically modified soy, and certainly we would never use that in any of our feeds. We don't blend any conventional feeds. Now, the manufacturers are required to test their soy and to provide that to anyone who asks for it. But the controversy over genetically engineered, genetically modified. Grains is over the top, and I just watched the movie The Future of Food, which really focuses on the genetic engineering issues, and it continues to be to me the number one or two major issues in farming today, and it will be in the future. The other thing is soy is certainly an allergen for a lot of people, and so that makes it a challenge as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has some biological problems with it, too, like disrupting B12 assimilation and being an estrogen sort of mimicker, estrogenic. It kind of goes on and on and on. I was surprised that Purina has a free product that they've been formulating, which is really an animal fat and soy-free product, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sort of tongue-tied because it goes so deep and so broad, the controversy about it. So for Trello,
well,
they keep it in there.
I do think also that people should recognize that you know, before there was manufactured feeds, chickens lived a much more natural grazing life. And I encourage everybody to, as you all have many, many times, is to make sure your chickens are out on pasture eating the bugs. And as Joel Saladin says, letting a chicken be a chicken. You know, that's to me the very best. But that becomes challenging when the weather is cold, or if you've got a confined situation where you can't let your chickens free range or get out on pasture. So, you know, that obviously is the best thing for every chicken. And we all, you know, hope to be able to provide that for our chickens or for any pastured animal or any animal that desires to be on pasture. So,
yeah, that's absolutely a good point, Steve, because I was talking with Lonnie Luther. He's the feed formulation for FDA. He's like the main guy. And he was saying, you know, they get all these specific formulations and they're just all tested and all this stuff. But he says, in truth, you know, chickens can eat just about anything out in the wild and get by fine. I mean, they're much more flexible and durable than what we think they are. And certainly when they have access to free range and out there running around eating the bugs and the weeds.
I see people say all vegetarian diet, which people, I don't know why they think that would be a chicken's natural diet, because it is not.
Right.
Chickens are omnivores. They're going to want, you know, they eat meat. They'll eat anything that you put in front of them. And for the most part, and, you know, it kind of reminds me, a healthy chicken is like what your mom told you when you were young. You know, you get fresh air, plenty of good food and exercise and, you know, and bathe regularly. Well, that's the same thing for chickens, you know, getting a dust bath out there with some diatomaceous earth or sphagnum peat moss, some wood ash, mix that together, put it in a tire and let them do their chicken thing, or just let them take their dust bath out in, you know, any bare ground, then make sure that they've got plenty of fresh water, good food, and fresh air. I mean, that's chickens are durable if they're not under pressure from predators. So I think we tend to think of them as a very delicate species. And, you know, frankly, they're not. They're not that delicate.
Right. Yeah. And of course, yeah. I mean, chickens can be very healthy. Same thing with people. I mean, sometimes we just wring our hands and moan and groan for our diet, and yet we're all still living longer and we're living longer. Let me just say that. So
yeah,
I know that the body has a huge capacity to adapt, and it's absolutely amazing, our bodies. So
sure. I have a question for you guys, and one thing we put in our feed, and it's a fairly readily available element, and that is diatomaceous earth.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
Diatomaceous earth, it's a food. There's different levels. We use a food grade diatomaceous earth, and it's listed as an anti-caking agent.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA does not recognize it as a dewormer or parasitic, but there are those who would espouse mm-hmm. that as a benefit of it. Whether you believe that or not, I leave that up to everybody to do their own research. But it is also a form of calcium as a mm-hmm. You know, ground seashell flower diatom. So just wanted to get your all's input on that and what you were thinking about that.
Pat, you go first.
Well,
I don't mind going first. I'll go. I already know what I'm going to say. I have it down pat. Huh. But I was just going to give you the opportunity to go first.
Go ahead, Whisper. I think I know what you're going to say, too.
Okay, no problem. To quote my wonderful friend, poultry scientist, PhD, Bridget McRae, when it comes to diatomaceous earth being good for mites and lice and internal parasites, I'll have to hit my fist on the table and say, show me the proof. But now my personal opinion here is that and she's awesome, but I would say that I've noticed over the last couple of years, my wife and I have used it. We have a 50-pound bag out back, I've noticed that people either love it or they hate it. There's no in between, and I found that opinion is based on what blog they most recently read about diatomaceous earth. Because I haven't seen, like you said, no official studies, no official information here. Maybe it's good for dusting for mites and lice, but maybe not for, you know, the internal consumption. It depends. Everybody I talk to, why do you feel that way? Oh, I read it somewhere on this blog, or I read it on this website, or I read it on that website. So, and then sometimes they'll say, oh, this has worked for me. My opinion and what I share with people is that I'll tell them, I'll say, if you want to use diatomaceous earth as a possibly a preventative for external parasites, mites, and lice, great. I personally feel that once you have an outbreak or an infestation, you're going to need to use something maybe a little more powerful than that to rid the problem. But if you want to use it and put it in their dust bath little holes and maybe in their coop or whatnot, great. We don't specifically put any in our feed. I know some people who do that as well and claim regarding the internal parasites. But again, there's studies still out for that, if there are even going to be any that are done. So I have a bag in my backyard. That should tell you something. I don't use it regularly, but I have used it in the past. And I found that, again, people either hate it or love it, and it's based primarily on whatever the last blog they read about it.
That's such a good comment.
What about yourself, Pat?
Well, you know, you say, you pound your fist, whisper, and say, where's the studies? And, of course, the answer is, who's going to fund the studies? There's no proprietary information. And that's so true with so many of the folk medicines and then the remedies that are so common. So I don't buy that as a valid argument, except maybe what's taught in school, so they can keep using proprietary products, which fund the, in a way, many ways, kind of fund the schools. But I found it to be very effective in dusting for lice, and I put some in the bottom of the nest boxes. Now, as far as a food additive, Steve, what you were talking about, well, it can't hurt to start with, because it's really high in calcium and magnesium. It's got a bunch of trace minerals in there as well. I mean, these are the diatoms from sea plants, little sea beans, whatever they are. And it's got a bunch of trace minerals, including tin, nickel, molybdenum, vanadium, geranium. I mean, it just so the list goes on and on and on. It doesn't have hardly any protein, but that's not surprising. But I think just alone in terms of a trace mineral supplement, that it's got quite a bit of value. And from the analysis that when I was looking into this, looking into lead, there is some lead in diatomaceous earth, but not much. So I know that's a concern about a toxic tag along, lead and arsenic, and it has no arsenic in it it's at least the reports that I've read. So I often mix it in with I'll use the organic meal and make a mash out of it, adding some water, and I'll often put diatomaceous earth, a couple of tablespoons full in for as long as 10 days and maybe even 2 weeks at a time, just to kind of see if it does work as a warmer as well as the nutritional supplement. So that's my position on it, and I also have a 50-pound bag sitting here in my coop, so I'm positive when it comes to the diatomaceous earth. Yeah, Steve, see what you hit a nerve.
All right, well, that's good. I wanted to just, have everybody give their opinion on it. And, you know, I'm a proponent of it, and I do think there's so little downside in a 1% ingredient into the mix. It really, it does add the calcium, as you say, and it does add the trace minerals. It is an anti-caking agent, which will keep your feed from, you know, getting moist or moldy. You know, those are good things. And then if the performance is in the dewormer or anti-parasitic on an internal basis, well, then it's a home run. But at the very least, those other benefits make it worthwhile, and it's cheap.
It's really cheap. And there's one more big benefit, Steve, that it's used even in the big mills, like General Mills, and for the flours it's added to keep the mealworms from growing, because it'll prick them and just dehydrate them. So it helps keep the feed fresh and keeps the bugs out of them.
That's exactly right. And we sell a lot of it to backyard gardeners for soft-bodied insects because it abrades and dehydrates those insects. So, you know, there's another reason. Very good point, Pat. I think that's an excellent point. And, I like it in the dusting ingredients, the one-third peat moss, one-third wood ash, and one-third diatomaceous earth, and the chickens seem to like it, and, what the heck?
There's a lot of things that I use regarding my backyard and regarding my poultry that I'm more than sure there's not any studies for, and that I have experience with. Like, for example, apple cider vinegar in the waterers in the summertime that keep down that green algae. If you can't quite get out there to, you know, that it's going to grow and things like that, there's probably no study out there that says, oh, apple cider vinegar in chicken waters will benefit this, that, and the other and keep the algae down. But I see it with my own two eyes every year. So it's one of those things, the study. So, you know, some black or white or nowhere in between. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes to wrap up, and we're having a really great time talking about mini milling and food formulations. And so we'll be back. Hope you enjoy what you're hearing. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Beware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
And the Mighty Bird Against Prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Pat and I will be talking to Steve Paradis, owner of Fresh Start Grower Supply, talking about mini milling and, of course, feed formulations and feed additives as well. Pat and Steve, you're both back live. We've got about 6 minutes remaining before we have to break away for the chicken trivia contest.
Well, fine. I wanted to just mention one thing real quick and use 30 seconds. I think that people think it's a complex process to do their own milling, and it's really not. And there's many ways to approach it, everywhere from just, you know, having a tumbler of some sort to mix your grains. But, you know, really all you need are good storage bins for your primary ingredients, a roller mill or hammer mill to crack your grains and get them to the right size, and then you need a mixer, and in between those you'll have transport mechanisms, conveyors or whatever, or you can do it by hand. It's really not as complex as people think, and there's a certain satisfaction in it. I really enjoy doing the milling myself, and our staff tends to like it too. So good fun, not so hard, and many ways to approach it, but not as complex as people would like to think. Not high engineering.
That's a really good point, Steve.
Yeah.
Because, and the other thing that's not really expensive is to have a feed bin that holds a ton or two at your side. If you've got a smaller, a couple hundred birds or so, you can save a huge amount of money about getting it from a mill and having it delivered by the mill truck instead of just buying it in bags. So, I mean, the cost savings can be truly significant, and it's just not that big a deal. Steve, what do you use as your primary bins to hold the corn and just the ingredients?
We have 3-ton bins that are really basic sheet metal, square in structure, or rectangular, I should say. They're mounted on some legs, and we add the ingredients through a little elevator, and the elevator has a little hopper opening that you pour, that the grains are put into, and then they're put right into the mill after they go into the bin. So not hard, and you can find them or find a good millwright in your area. They can fabricate them. You can find them used online, Craigslist, mm-hmm. or other, you know, farm supply houses may have them. We don't sell those at this point, but we may end up there because more people have admired ours, and so it's not complicated, but it sure does take. It sure does make the storage of the grain much more efficient, and frankly keeps bugs and rats and everything else out of them.
Oh yes, having that metal would certainly help do that. Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, I was trying to find a price for some of these bulk bins, and I haven't come up with one yet. But I know they're under right around $500, if I remember. We had two of them when we had our farm, and. It was just great to see that hopper truck come up, and we could just put a little bucket right underneath that funnel at the bottom of the bin and get what we needed. And it just saved so much in labor, and certainly a lot in paper bags. So.
Sure, it does. It does save in the paper bags, which makes it a little more sustainable. It is cheaper when you buy it in bulk, and the storage is certainly a an advantage. The quality of the storage is great. So, you know, you're on the right track, Pat. And, you know, maybe we'll offline on that for next week for you guys. I've got some manufacturers at my store. I'm not there now, but I can give you some information on that offline.
Okay. Well, there's a question in the chat room here about rocks or stone, and I would guess that given you're an organic farm store and doing organic seeds, that would not be one of the ingredients, or do you offer that as an option to some of the broiler?
I didn't catch the ingredient. What was it?
Oh, the rocks are sown. It's the arsenic-containing product that's supposed to make the meat pink.
that's not happening on my watch.
Correct.
Right, right. That's what I thought.
No, that's not anywhere where we'd be. We don't carry any synthetic or additives that would have restrictions or that would be toxic. You know, ours are things your grandma would recognize, like alfalfa meal. So, you know, we do use the Fertrel premix, but it is certified organic under the NOP standards by the Kentucky Department of Agriculture here and other states as well. And that has vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and probiotics in it, enzymes. But no arsenic.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought up the probiotics. That's an ingredient that you probably routinely, I would guess, put in the feed, do you?
Well, yeah, it is blended into our premix, and it's called the Fertrel Poultry NutriBalancer. They have
right.
two, an original and an organic, one with methionine and the other one without.
Okay.
And methionine is a synthetic amino acid that aids in digestion, but some states outlaw that in the organic programs that they oversee. So you can replace most of that with more kelp.
Yes.
We don't add a specific microbial, beneficial microbial by itself. We do sell direct-fed microbials, but that's more for when you have a flock that may have some aspergillus or other issues, or respiratory issues, for instance, that would help to, you know, bring them back to good health. But there's certainly a bunch of excellent premixes out there. I just happen to be a fan of Fertrel's.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're a great company. Well, listen, Steve, we're running out of time here, so thank you so much for coming on the air with us and talking about mini milling and how it's definitely a niche and an option for some of these farm stores to get into, and it's truly not that big a deal. So thanks again. We've been talking with Steve Paradis. He's the owner and operator of Fresh Start Growers Supply, located in Louisville, Kentucky. So, Steve, thank you so much.
Pat, thank you all for your time and including me in the program. You do great work.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be in touch soon.
Alrighty, yes, thank you very much for joining us. Lots of great information for folks that may be considering maybe growing their own grain or wanting to mill their own feed. If you have, again, it sounds like, and he reassured you that it wasn't all that difficult if you choose to do that, or if you have the time to grow or get grain and go for it. So we thank him for coming on, absolutely. We're going to take a very, very short break. When we come back, Pat is going to have our chicken trivia question of the day brought to you by yours truly, Ware Manufacturing.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today. Again, trivia question brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. Prize today is a nesting box. It'll be shipped directly to you anywhere in the lower 48 states. And I believe Pat just might have a trivia question for us today. And we're going to take caller number 8. Caller number 8 at 347-637-3237. Again, that's 347-637-3237. 877-637-3237. Write that in your Chicken Whisperer notebook that you keep by your computer to write all those great notes down. All righty, Pat, we're ready for it.
Okay, Whisper. Well, the question comes directly from our conversation that we just had with Steve Paradis from the Grower Supply. And that question is, what is one advantage of putting diatomaceous earth into milled feed?
The alleged advantage.
No, this is a documented advantage. This has to be documented.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is one advantage of putting diatomaceous earth into milled feed? And it helps act in a preservative in what way? That's a clue.
Okay, I'm familiar now. I see where you're going down that road. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. 347-637-3237. Caller number eight. Again, 347-637-3237. One of the proven and scientific studies that show DE, diatomaceous earth, in your food mix. What is one of the advantages of that? So perfect.
And it's even done to commercial flours. If you've eaten King Arthur flour, you have eaten it. Diatomaceous earth in the King, probably King Arthur. It's a very old practice and a sort of a standard industry practice. As I understand it.
Cool.
Let me put it that way. Yeah.
I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is Thursday. It's the first Thursday of the month, which means our good friend, Dr. McRae, will be here. And I don't have the topic right in front of me. I apologize for that. It's in a folder somewhere. But nonetheless, bring that notebook to the show again tomorrow, because you'll want to write down and learn from the experts that we do, bring you the experts from around the country, experts in their field. Yes, I did say egg-sperts. So tomorrow, Dr. McRae will be with us, and then we have another fun Friday coming up this Friday the 4th. And, of course, a special Saturday show from Mountain Valley Country Store in Hayesville, North Carolina. Come out and see us there if you're close. If not, you'll be able to tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So how cool is that? I'm going to give it about one more minute for the switchboard to light up. 347-637-3237, advantage of having DE mixed in with your poultry feed. That's what we're looking for. If you know the answer, want to try to win this nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Also, and since we've about 1 minute left, I want to remind you that coming up next month in April, we'll be releasing first of its kind on the planet, Chicken Whisperer collector cards. Yep. Short definition, just like baseball cards, but for chickens, chicken breeds, chicken information. It's going to be awesome, and you should start seeing those across the country. You can buy them on the website and also from some of our sponsors' websites as well. So that's coming up next month, Chicken Whisperer Collector Cards. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Caller number eight. Caller number eight, you're live with Andy and Pat calling in from area code 978. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Pat. It's Bob from Massachusetts.
Hey, Bob. Great.
Hard Rock. Cool. I hadn't heard from you in a little while. Thanks for tuning in today. Okay, Pat, if you'll repeat the question, we'll get an answer, and then we got to run.
Okay. What is the advantage, Bob, of putting diatomaceous earth into milled feed, whether it's for chickens or humans or pigs or whatever? What's the advantage of DE?
It keeps the feed from clumping together.
Oh, well, yeah! Well, that is one advantage. It's not quite what I was looking for, but I'll go ahead and accept it.
La, 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 la.
Whisper.
Does he win or does he lose, Pat? Come on now.
Well, it is an advantage. It's a very valid advantage, so I really can't negate that. The answer I was looking for is that it helps to kill the bugs and keep the larva from developing in the flower. It'll kill them if any soft-bodied insect that gets in there, it'll prick and cause them to dehydrate, so it can keep the bugs out of the flower. So we'll take that.
I have to tell you, Bob, when she asked the question, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. Anti-caking agent was the actual, scientific answer I was going to have. Oh, it's an anti-caking agent to keep the That's exactly what my answer was when she read the question, but obviously...
Well, you win, too. Everybody's a winner here, Whitaker.
I knew you were going there. Everybody's a winner when
everyone's
Pat takes control. I love it. All righty, Pat, less than a minute or so, so I'm going to just tell everybody thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank our guests, thank all of our sponsors, and we hope you'll tune in tomorrow right here at Blog Talk Radio, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. Pat?
Okay. Well, thanks to Steve Paradis for coming on. He's the owner-operator of Fresh Direct Grower Supply and talking about mini milling and how that's an option for many of the urban farm stores, possibly, that are serving our nation. Of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together. Where would we be if it weren't for everything that you do for the poultry movement and for us? And, of course, thanks to our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along. Blog Talk Radio, they provide the radio, chat, and the video services, and we're eternally grateful for that. And, of course, blessings to all. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Thank you.